6 and verse 7. I thought, just as I was looking through things, I thought, just before we walk away from Thanksgiving and jump into Christmas, which obviously we're already there in a lot of ways, I thought we would go back to this idea of Thanksgiving. I appreciate the music this morning really kind of directing that, and that was kind of neat. In Psalms 26 and verse 7, it says, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. In the name of God, amen. That begins the Mayflower Compact signed in November of 1620. 1 year later, and half the people and crew now dead, they gather for their first Thanksgiving. It was interesting, when we were in Cape Cod, I learned something that I did not know about that first, that landing there, and that is they first landed on Cape Cod. It was across the bay at Plymouth that they eventually settled, but the first landing was there on Cape Cod. There's a huge monument there to the pilgrims and so forth. Thanksgiving, the actual word, is used in 27 verses in our English Bible, the actual word Thanksgiving. The Hebrew involves praise, confession, songs of liturgical worship. It involves choir. It involves thank offering or sacrifice of praise. Its root means to laud or praise, to confess the name of God. In addition to thanksgiving, the word is translated as praise, thanks, thank, offerings, and confession. All of those are in that one word. In the New Testament, the word means thankfulness or the giving of thanks. Its root means mindful of favors, grateful, thankful. In addition to thanksgiving, it is translated as giving thanks or thankfulness. Isn't it easy for us to get out of the mode of thanksgiving? I mean, I don't know about you, but just this morning, I had a couple things in my spirit that were just grumbling. And that was like the Holy Spirit said, "What are you preaching on this morning?" I was like, "Oh, yeah." I didn't vocalize those things, but it's so easy for us to get into this, "Well, this is not going right, that's not going right, and what about this? Wake up, well, it's raining outside." I mean, it's really easy for us to get into that mode instead of being grateful. And as we mentioned last week, if we had nothing else but salvation, we can be grateful. I mean, if that's all that God promised for us. So Thanksgiving can be an event, and I'm not opposed to that at all. We enjoyed this week. But it also must be a way of life. Not just a once a year or once a week year, but year round. Let's have a spirit of Thanksgiving. So what I want to do today is, just quickly, I want to just kind of walk through the whole Bible. You're like, "It better be quick, Pastor." I know. And just touch on some things about Thanksgiving that I think will be helpful to us. And I'm going to do a lot of reading of the verses. You probably won't have time to do this. Let me say this before we jump in, because I keep forgetting it and I don't want to forget it, okay? Typically on this day, we would have Brother Jeremiah Clark preach, because we like to take care of them, okay? Just most of you know this, but evangelists typically don't have meetings from the middle of November to at least the middle of January, typically. And so we want to try to take care of them. But I felt like, since I had not been in the pulpit a whole lot already, that you might actually say, "What are we paying you for?" You know, so I thought I might want to preach today. But on the 28th of December, in that 8:45 service, I am going to have him preach. There's always an opportunity to give to the Clarks, but that day we're going to specifically take up a special offering for them. They're ours. We want to take care of them during this time as well. So as you just pray and think about that, you're like, "Oh, I'm going on the 28th. Online giving is wonderful. You can still do that, okay? So we'll say more about that a little bit later on, but we're grateful that they're a part of what God is doing here. So number one, it was part of the sacrificial system. Thanksgiving was a part of the sacrificial system. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 12. "If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes of mingled oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and so forth. Verse 15 of that passage, and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. Leviticus 22:29, and when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord. Psalms 107, verse 22, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, declare his works with rejoicing. Psalms 116 and verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. So even in, if you will, the worship system that God instituted for the nation of Israel, the sacrificial system, one of the things with the blood atonement and all those kind of things, which were all important, but one of the things that God instituted was a sacrifice of thanksgiving. In other words, he wanted them constantly to be aware of what has happened in their particular lives. And does our thanksgiving involve sacrifice? And it should, as we think through that. Number two, it was part of the prayer life. In Nehemiah chapter 11, verse 17, and Mattaniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph, was the principal to begin the thanksgiving in prayer. And then he goes on to mention some other people. Colossians 4 and verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. I don't know about you, but we can get caught up in asking God for things instead of pausing to thank God for the things he has done. And it's so easy to do that. But God wants us to even approach him in our prayer life with the attitude of thanksgiving. When you pray, are you thankful? By the way, you're like, well, I'll be thankful when he answers my prayer. Well, what if he answers it not the way you want him to? Can you be thankful for that too? And we're supposed to be. Now, let's be honest, because we all don't have halos here this morning. The yes answers are so much easier to be thankful for than the no answers, right? Are the rest of you that way, or some of you like, oh no, Pastor, I love no answers? Okay, thank you for that, okay? No, most of us like the yes ones, but the truth is, the no ones are good for us too. And many times, looking back, we know that the no ones were actually better for us. We just didn't know it at the time. That's because our God knows what he's doing. Number three, it was part of singing. Nehemiah 12 and verse 8, moreover the Levites, and it lists a whole bunch of them, was over the thanksgiving, he and his brethren. So one of the things that the musicians did in the temple and all that was thanksgiving. That's what they were, if you will, paid to do. This is a literal translation, can mean it was over the songs of praise. And remember, particularly in the Hebrew, the word praise and thanks can be interchanged in some cases with that. In Nehemiah 12 and verse 46, in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. Psalm 69 and verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalms 147 and verse 7, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise unto the harp, upon the harp unto our God. Is our songs filled with thanksgiving? Is it something where when we're singing particular songs that praise our God, are we consciously thinking of him? Because if we're not careful, all of us get into this mode too, right? Where we sing songs without really thinking about them because we've always sang those songs. But it's like, just this week, one of my friends was posting on social media almost every day. He posted small excerpts of the song, What Can Wash Away Our Sins? And because he did it that way, it made you concentrate on one phrase. And it was like, oh, wow, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But we sing that so much that we forget, wait a minute, this is a precious verse. We need that. Number four, it should be vocal. There are tons of verses about this. One, the verse we talked about here says that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving. I think we can have an attitude of thanksgiving as well, and we should. I think it would be wrong for us to publish with a voice of thanksgiving and have a grumbling spirit. But we can have a thankful spirit and not ever publish it either. Not ever say to someone, boy, God's just been good to me. Thanksgiving should be a heart attitude, but it should be expressed vocally as well. And it should be, number five, offer to God. Psalms 50 and verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay the vows unto the Most High. So we regularly thank God for who He is and what He has done. I think it's interesting, as we looked at Psalms 107 and then other passages of Scripture, how many times it connects our thanksgiving to His many wonderful works. In other words, particularly offering to God, this is what God has done. In the nation of Israel, we find that many times they built memorials, piles of stone that come out of the river. Why? Well, one of the reasons was when your children ask, what's this pile of rocks? You can tell them the story. This is what God did. This is how it happened here and so forth. Because the children of Israel were supposed to constantly be remembering, this is what God has done for us. It should be offered to God. Number six, we've already mentioned this, but it should be a precursor to approaching God. Or if you want to say it this way, it should be what we come into His presence with. Psalms 95 and verse 2, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Psalms 100 and verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When we begin to talk to our God, how do we start? Do we just jump in with, God, I need you to do this, and I need you to do this? And now, there are times when we're in desperate positions and we just cry out to God immediately. I got that. But for years, I have tried to make it a habit. And sometimes I start and then I realize, wait a minute. But I try to make it a habit to open my prayer time in praise to God, thanking Him for who He is and for what He's done. It's so easy for us just to jump in talking to Him. Yeah, now, He can handle that. I got that, right? I'm glad that He's always available to us. But sometimes I think we treat Him almost like an idol on the shelf instead of talking to someone who really listens to us, to say good morning to Him, to thank Him for a good night's sleep or a bad night's sleep. Some of you are like, what? I mean, He's in control of all that, isn't He? Like, well, maybe what I ate the night before might have been in control of it, right? So I understand all that, but we can thank the Lord. How do we enter His presence? Number seven, it is a recognition of God's goodness. Isaiah verse 51, chapter 51 and verse 3, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Jeremiah 30 and verse 19, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. See, a thankful heart is a heart that recognizes goodness outside of ourself. Matter of fact, I think we can prove in Scripture in multiple places that those who have a grumbling spirit are not right with God. We must have a thankful spirit. And even if we don't feel thankful, we force this old flesh to be thankful anyway. Well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite a lot more than you want to let on anyway, right? At least I am. It's amazing how often we get to that point, right? But the truth is, we need to make ourselves do that which we don't necessarily feel like. Thankful spirit is one of those things. Number eight, it should be joyful. It should be joyful. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 9, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few, and I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. See, a grumbling attitude mixed with words of thanksgiving don't mix very well. So what's our attitude as we work through this? What are we really happening inside of us? Maybe you're thinking, well, Pastor, things aren't going too well right now. Okay. Well, what can we thank God for? Because we do have an awful lot to be thankful for. Number nine, it can be about submission. I found this one interesting. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Where is Jonah when he says this? He's in the belly of the whale. It's my contention that the Bible doesn't clearly state this. It's my contention that Jonah wanted to die. I think we know that part. And that he was going to stay in the belly of the fish until he died. Because it's inevitable. I cannot live in the belly of a fish long. Until I think eventually about day three he realized, you know what, I think God's going to keep me alive in here forever if I don't get right with him. That's my opinion. I don't know, the Bible doesn't clearly state that. But it's finally like, okay, God, I surrender. And chapter 2 is Jonah's prayer of surrender. But isn't it interesting that he has a voice of thanksgiving? What do you think he's thanking God for? The belly of the whale? The seaweed that's wrapped around him? The Ninevites that he was supposed to go preach to? I'm not sure he was yet thankful for them because he sat outside the city hoping they'd be destroyed. But you get the point. Like, thanksgiving recognizes the sovereignty of our God. It really does. Thanksgiving says, God, I know that you are in control. And I can thank you for whatever is happening because you ultimately are in control. Have we acknowledged that in our life? That God is in control. Number 10, it brings glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. When you look at the context of this passage, and we've been working through 2 Corinthians before I went on sabbatical, you realize that what he's saying in this text of Scripture is that when God's grace is abundant in our life, and others see the abundant grace that's in our life, we will naturally have a thanksgiving spirit for all that God has done because we're recognizing His grace in our life. And when people see that, they're like, I want some of that. This is, if you will, attractive. And what will happen is that more people come to the gospel because of us and our gratefulness to God, and that redounds to the glory of God. More and more people praise God as a result of that. What an amazing thing that is. Does our thankfulness cause people to glorify God? Can people watch us go through even the difficult things? And can they see as we go through those things, God made a difference? Now, I'm not saying that we don't grieve. Grieving is absolutely okay with God. I find it amazing to me that in the passage in John, Jesus wept because Lazarus was dead and the people around him were grieving, and Jesus wept with them in that grief, and he was about to solve the problem. Couldn't have he have said, hey, dry up those tears. We're about to solve this problem here. No. He wept with them. Why? Because grieving is okay. I'm not saying that we can't grieve, because we certainly can grieve in difficult times. But the truth is, even in that grief, we can thank God. Hey, many of us have lost precious people in the last couple of years. But how precious is the gospel in those times? Because we don't sorrow as others which have no hope. And we can thank God for that, for the gospel. Number 11, it's connected to generosity. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. This bountifulness means not self-seeking, openness of heart manifesting itself by generosity. Isn't that interesting? In other words, when we're generous, the thanksgiving comes, and thanksgiving makes us generous, and generosity makes us thankful. And, you know, if you've ever looked at a chart of the pilgrims who left Europe and sailed to America, and how many of them are alive at the first Thanksgiving, it's an astounding chart to look at. I think, and it's been a little bit since I've looked at it, but I think there's one family intact, meaning only one family had some death in their family somewhere. I think there's one. There may be two, but there's not many. Over half of them died because of the harsh winters and all kinds of things. And yet in the midst of that, what are they doing? They're gathering to thank God for his goodness. Pretty incredible. Is our lack of thankfulness reflected in our giving? Number 12, it's a reflection of growing. Colossians 2 and verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. As we're established in the faith and as we grow in Christ, one of the results is that we're thankful for all that God is doing and has done. Ephesians 5 and verse 4, neither filthiness or foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Growth causes us to put aside those things that were wrong, foolish talking, jesting, but instead we give thanks. A thankful heart is a growing heart. And what does our thankfulness, our lack thereof, say about our growing? Number 13, it can help put relationships in perspective. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. All men. By the way, the next verse tells us to pray for our authorities. Anybody been frustrated by governmental authorities over the last 10 years or so? Did you know we're supposed to give thanks for them? And we're supposed to pray for them? Like, okay, Pastor, you did all right till you started getting to that stuff, right? Come on now. Do we thank God for all men? Do you thank God for that guy on your job that just absolutely torques you every time? Pastor Adam, don't be smiling over there. We're the only ones in here, right? We need to do that. Number 14, it should be a part of our eating. Well, we did that this week, didn't we? 1 Timothy 4 and verse 3 and 4. He talks about forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. In other words, when we eat, dietary laws are no longer in place. We can have that if we do so with thanksgiving. It's where we have the idea of stopping and thanking God for our food. I knew one guy who said, I always take all my groceries that I bought, put them in the middle of my dining room table and pray over them. And he said, thanking God for the abundance in case I forget to pray for a particular meal. Well, that was kind of interesting. But we're supposed to eat, but we're supposed to do so with a thankful heart. Are you thankful for the food that God has provided for you? Number 15. See, I didn't tell you how many there were because I didn't want to really give you a heart attack. It will be in heaven. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 9. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Revelation 7 and verse 12 saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Sometimes God chooses to put words in the middle of things where it's almost like, does that make sense? Like, for instance, in Romans chapter 1, he's listing all these, what we would think is incredibly difficult sins to even read, right? All kinds of sexual sins and so forth. And then he says, unthankful. Okay. Here, blessing, glory, wisdom, honor, power, might, in the middle, thanksgiving. We should be thankful for God's blessings, for his glory, for his wisdom, for his honor, for his power, for his might. And so, in essence, we're practicing for heaven. Heaven's going to be a place of thanksgiving and praise to our God. Edward Winslow, one of the pilgrims, in a letter to a friend in England, wrote about the first Thanksgiving, November 1621, and I quote, And God be praised, we had a good increase. Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent four men on fowling. F-O-W-L-I-N-G. That so we might have a special manner rejoice together, These things I thought good to let you understand, that you might, on our behalf, give thanks to God who hath dealt so favorably with us. Thanksgiving to God. So, will we have a thankful heart year round? Not just coming out of Thanksgiving, but year round. Because it's a reflection of who we are before God. It's an attraction to the gospel. It's what our God deserves and what He wants as we think through these things. Father, thank you for this quick, brief study on this idea of Thanksgiving. And we enjoyed the holiday. We're grateful that our nation sets aside time to be thankful. And we should. But Lord, help us to be thankful on January 21st, and February 15th, and March 18th, and April 13th, and whatever other date we pick, may we have grateful hearts, and may it reflect the gospel that's made a change in our hearts and lives. We're so, so grateful for you and for who you are. Thankful that you're a good God. Thank you that you're a sovereign God, a powerful God, and a wise God, and that we can come to you. We sure love you. In your name we pray these things. Amen. All right, Lord bless. We're at Sunday school a little bit early this morning, so you have a little more time to fill.